Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another exciting program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave and I are going to do our very best to give you some inspiration and encouragements and teach you how to overcome the life's difficulties at the very best of our ability. Dave, today we're going to talk about great people. Have you ever been exposed to some really, truly great people in your life?
Oh, you bet I have.
You? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. Let me set the stage, and I want to hear about some of those people in your life, because you're a fascinating individual. If somebody impressed you more than I'm impressed, because you're the one that impresses me. Hey, let's look at what the scriptures say and what the Bible's, if we open up those pages, do they try to address the issue of great people? And I think the answer is yes. Elijah was a persistent person, wasn't he? His spiritual father and his mentor was about to leave this good old life. And as a prophet, Elijah traveled from town to town towards the Jordan River, where God would send him a chariot and a whirlwind to take him into heaven. Elijah insisted on following his friends all the way to the end. "Stay here," Elijah kept saying to them. "Well, as surely as the Lord lived and you live, I will not leave you," Elijah responded each time. And he followed him on to this great journey from town to town until they crossed the river. Finally, Elijah issued a bold request. "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." "You have asked a difficult thing," the older prophet responded. Remember saying that? But Elijah was able to see his master when he was taken up. The request would be granted. That's in 2 Kings chapter 2, reads that way. So they walked together, and they talked until the chariots and the whirlwind came, and Elijah walked away with his mentor's mantle and a double portion of his spirit. Well, Dave, you see, that's a good example of somebody in the Bible. Elisha was following a mentor, and he's learning, and he was teaching. There's a lot to be said about Elijah and Elijah. Boy, we get these two mixed up. I still get them mixed up. I guess most people do. But when you meet someone like that, and you have someone to follow, and it sets a great picture. You either have great aspirations of this important and spiritual, truthful person who you chose to follow, or you can say, "Hey, I can never be that great myself. Why am I even going to try?" Well, if we want to become great Christians, we need to pursue great Christians. And that's what it's all about. What do you think, Dave? You think pursuing great Christians is a good idea?
Hey, I wouldn't be here today if I hadn't followed some people that I thought were great. They were not just good, they were great. When I was a teenager, like 17, 18, the pastor of our church, he was a boring preacher to me. I didn't know. I was from a Christian home. We went to church every Sunday, never missed. Prayed every night after supper, never missed. So I knew a lot about church, but when it came to the preacher, he bored me. And then one day he retired. And boy, we got a young preacher. A guy just about 10 years older than me, instead of being 50 years older. And wow, his first sermon just brought me off the back row to the front row the next time he preached. And I was, I was impressed. I loved the way he talked. I loved the way he fashioned his message. And when he said, "Dave, do you think God could be calling you into the ministry?" And I said, "I don't think so, but..." I'm willing, if I could do what you do, if you can teach me where do I find out how to do that, I wouldn't mind trying. He said, look, you need to go to Bible college, and I'll put you in there because I know the president, and he's in Missouri. You live here in Pennsylvania. It's 1,000 miles, and I don't know how you're going to ever get there and pay the bill and all that because your family is so poor, but I'll work at it. And, boy, you know, he came, and he said, Dave, school starts in 2 weeks. And he said, I got you in if you want to go. I said, where am I going to go? I don't have any money. He said, all you have to do is put on the bottom of your paper. When you get there, I'll get a job. And if I don't, by Christmas, I won't come back the second semester. Well, I got a job right away. and he said, if you just begin to follow what the Lord is putting in your heart, put your whole life into it. And he didn't say it, but I said to myself, and if I learned how to do it like you.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't take me long to get in a music group, and it was my turn to introduce a song, so I introduced it. He was my pastor. I enjoyed doing that, and it got me the job of when the fellow who was the leader of our group quit. Everybody said, who's going to be the MC? And they all looked at me and said, Dave, you're not an MC, you're not a preacher, you're not a give the altar call. You do it well. Why don't you? We're going to give you 6 months, and if you do it in 6 months, you'll have it for a lifetime. And if we don't, we want to be able to say to you, Dave, you don't have it. We need to get somebody else. And I said, fair enough. Don't talk to me until 6 months is over before you say anything. Don't destroy me on the first Sunday. And after 6 months, they finally said, Dave, the job is yours.
Uh-huh.
Man, for 40 years, I was the man who closed every service, 10,000 services I closed with preaching. And I did it like the man.
Uh-huh.
That taught me, because see, if I moved from the back row to the front row
in 1 week,
and I moved to taking notes, it was such good stuff. I had never heard the kind of stuff he was preaching, and it fascinated me as a young, 18-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Changed your life.
I can remember my pastor. He left the church when I went to school. He'd been there just a short time. 2 or 3 years at the most. And I called him and I said, why are you leaving the church? He said, I went there and he said, I was looking for somebody to be in the ministry out of the youth and you came. And so when you said you're going to Bible school, I quit. I'm moving to the next church. So I followed him all the way through all my life. And I was privileged to be in his church and to preach. I'm sure he smiled big when he was sitting back there and I was preaching
Is that right? Just like, you preached in his church. Oh, that's fantastic.
And when he passed away, his wife took up his greatness.
Is that right? She became a preacher?
No, but she was a lovely person to me.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
She called me. She wanted to make sure that I was doing the right thing, and when I went somewhere where she could get there, she'd come.
Really?
And it was a precious family that kept me when things weren't really going where, you know, my way yet. We had struggled for a long time to get a living out of what we were doing.
Sure.
But I wonder where I would be today had I never met.
That's right.
My pastor.
That's right. Changed your whole life.
I can imagine where I would be.
Yeah.
But he gave me some great advice, and that's a good line today. I'm going to give it here. If you want to do something great, find great people that you want to be like.
That's right.
And it'll change your life. When I meet people that come to my office and say, Dave, young men, I've tutored a lot of young guys. Come to my home, and we go downstairs in my office and sit, and they don't know it, but I'm trying to be great in front of them so that they would want to do
what you're doing.
What I'm doing.
Yep. That's wonderful. What a wonderful Christian gentleman you are. You are full of great aspiration, Dave.
We're supposed to be really talking about great people, and I'm taking all
doing,
the time.
No, but you're doing very well, and that's what our listeners want. They want to hear you speak from the heart. We have a nice stack of notes here that we can cite some scripture readings and give some good examples, and that's wonderful. I'm grateful for it, but nothing beats those personal experiences that you've had. The years have been good to us, and we've learned a lot. And it's up to us to mentor our listeners and share with them what makes a person go from good to great. Sometimes great role models are right in front of us, and they're easily accessible. Often they aren't, though. Great people like Elijah that we were talking about earlier can be hard to follow, but persistence is almost always rewarded. We see this often in scriptures. Joshua was able to follow in Moses' footsteps because wherever Moses spoke with God, face to face, his young aide Joshua was near him, drawing strength from the Lord's presence. That's recorded in Exodus chapter 33, I believe it is. Solomon valued wisdom because of his father David urged him to pursue understanding. That's in Proverbs chapter 4. Timothy was encouraged to pursue understanding. Timothy was encouraged and strengthened as a young pastor despite difficulties because he submitted himself to Paul's example and his advice, and that's recorded all through the Bible, 2 Timothy, 1 Corinthians, Philippians. You'll find it most every place. And most obviously, 12 men followed Jesus closely for 3 years, observing his work and listening to his words constantly. God put great people in our lives so that we can learn from them. And that's the point you were sharing, David. You were exposed to some great people. And I guess, you know, if we all have to admit that we had exposure to such people and it helped to develop our framework. It's just a matter of how great were they. And I know I can say that as well. Great people, Sunday school teachers that we've had over the years, pastors that we've had over the years, fellow workers or supervisors or foremen, job foremen, or spouses or family members, maybe a neighbor. We've all had exposure to some truly great people. And those dynamic people that we had exposure to made a big difference in our lives. Because as you were citing earlier, you were trying to mimic those people in their words and their actions and their deeds and their knowledge and their display of a positive and great attitude. How good can it get? And that's how we all learn. History is full of people who connect themselves to other great people and eventually arose to their own level of maturity. Rather, it is a succession of philosophers, or it's a king, like we were talking about from the Bible, or just an apprentice artisan, like from the Renaissance, master ceilings can become his disciples. And that's all lessons to be absorbed from great leaders. God has ordained relationships as the primary medium for learning. Yeah, the books are nice, and we did learn when we read, that's true. But it's not nearly as great as those examples from the people that we're around. What's that expression, Dave? Birds of a feather flock together, or something like that?
That's right.
So hang around great people and stay away from those losers. That's not a nice way to say it. That implies there's junk out there, and God didn't make any junk. But there are those who are less enamored when it comes to an attitude and the words and actions that they share, and those should be avoided.
You know, that it's true in all of your lives. Guys, don't follow through to find a great woman to marry. They don't do their research. They don't. They live on a whim. They live with thinking of sex and all kinds of other things. And they you got to learn where to look.
Good way to say it.
And I taught my girls where to look when they were growing up, and they all married preachers. That wasn't too bad.
Yes, you did good.
They followed suit.
Yes.
And my grandchildren are doing the same thing. I have 8 grandchildren, 2 boys and 6 girls. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, we had our 7th great-grandchild Wow. Born in Philadelphia.
Wow, is that right? Well, so congratulations.
At noon yesterday, the phone was buzzing and the texting was going on. And I thought all these 15 little ones that are, you know, from the three girls that Judy and I had. And when they all get together, and when they all get married, we got a lot of them to get married, and we're starting to have three kids each. We're gonna have we're gonna have 50 before it's over.
You're gonna need a bigger dining room.
Woo! I gotta live a long time, Giff. I gotta stay healthy because I want to see these kids grow up and do something great.
Well, they'll need your aspiration, too. But you've done a fine job of passing that on. You don't need to hang your head. You have three wonderful daughters, and even your grandchildren, most of them have been here at this radio station once upon a time, giving their testimony. They are great Christian people who have dedicated a major segment of their life to working for the Lord. You have done a fantastic job. Now, how many great-grandchildren do you have?
I have seven.
Seven great-grandchildren.
Yes.
Now, I don't think I have met any of those, have I?
They're still little. I mean, the oldest is like six.
Okay, well, that explains
six
why
to,
I haven't met them. Okay.
Zero yesterday. She's one day old today. I would love to have all eight of my grandchildren in this room right here where we do this.
Well, let's do that.
That's hard for me to get them to do because they're so far apart.
That's true. They're not all together here.
I raised my girls and boys different. I said to them, when you look for somebody to marry, somebody great, I want you to marry a great girl and a great husband. I said, don't come home with somebody that's digging ditches.
And
I said, that's great, but your aspirations have to be bigger than that. Come home with somebody that could, in the future, be the president of the university. And I told him, I pushed that at him all the time. Yeah. Is he presidential material? And, you know, one of my son-in-laws, one of my granddaughters married a kid from school when she went to college. And right now, they've been married just a couple of years. And he has done so well that he decided to not only get his master's, but to get his doctorate.
Oh, okay.
And finally, he did so well at school that the president got him aside and said, hey, I want to ask you if you'll help me. I want to make you my assistant. I've read your readings and your writings, and I want you to begin to write for me as the president for where I go, and I want you to get on the plane with me, and we're going to fly all over America attracting kids, and you're going to be right by my side. And I said to Erica, I told you, get the president. And look what you're doing. He's only a few years away from being his own president of one of those universities in America.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh.
What a wonderful story.
Sounds
That's
like I'm
fantastic.
Bragging,
yes.
But maybe I am.
And
it wasn't because...
There's nothing wrong with that.
When children obey their parents and listen to what's happening to them in the world, they choose right.
Yes.
And God blesses them.
Remember our program yesterday? We talked a great deal about that, in fact. You know, where Jesus was trying to encourage all of his disciples to become great people. And they started fighting over which one was the greatest. Remember that?
Listen, all of my grandkids are coming.
Luke 22.
They're coming for Thanksgiving or Christmas, one or the other.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be great if I could get them all in here?
You get them. We'll do that. We're going to do it.
I'll work at it. We may have to broadcast on a different day. But
I'll come over and help you transport them here. I'll come over to your home, and we'll bring them all right here to the station.
That'd be fun.
Wouldn't that be great?
Only grandkids today.
They would like, our listeners would like that too. Because they have families, and we're no different than everybody else. And they have friends, and they have neighbors, and they have church family, they have a biological family, and it's just great to be able to share together. And we'll show them that we're the same as they are, no different.
Well, we're not being, I never want to be greedy with what I do.
Yeah.
And for me to be greedy and not ever have a guest on my program, that wouldn't be right.
That wouldn't be right.
So you and I both have said, look, let's not be greedy with what God is allowing us to do.
That's right.
There's other people out there dying to say something for the Lord. And you'd say, hey, would you like to be on my program? They leap out of their skin.
Oh, yeah.
And they're only 25, 26, 27 years old, and they're jumping for joy saying, hey, do you know that Given Dave invited me down to the station? I'm going to be able to say something on the radio.
Yes.
We're missing thousands of youth, and some of them, because they don't have that opportunity. They go the world's way. It's amazing.
They have a message to share. Yes. That happened to me this past Saturday, Dave. There was a neighboring church in the village where I'm from, where they had their Apple Festival. Typically, this time of year, that's commonplace, I guess, in the church. And they had various booths stand up, and oh my goodness, I go, I'm glad your daughter wasn't there. She'd see me buying a bread and and the pies. She would say, Giff, I told you not to eat that stuff. But in doing this program, it was a wonderful experience. There was various organizations had display tables set up, and didn't I meet a gentleman from Carlisle Cares? And I said, oh, aren't you the people that house the homeless in your church? And he said, yes. He said, I said, well, we haven't had anyone on our radio station talking about that for a long time. Would you be interested in coming to the radio station to talk about it? He said, well, it's not me, it's my mother. This guy was just a teenager, and I thought he was actively involved in it. And I said, well, maybe your mother would like to come and talk. And he said, okay, well, I'll tell her. So I gave him my business card. And it was only about 10 minutes later, here they come walking through the crowd, and they found me. They said, Mr. Bryan, here's my mother. She would like to talk to him. And she couldn't wait to get on the airwaves.
Oh, my goodness.
To talk about the project. You're right. People are involved in these ministries. They're doing wonderful things to help other people. And not just themselves, but they're helping their family, they're helping their neighbors, they're helping their friends, they're helping their church people. They are helping people that they've never met before. Now, you tell me how it gets any better than that.
It doesn't.
Doesn't get any better than that.
That puts a crown on your your head, and you walk around saying, wow. And they walk around saying, did you hear me?
Yes.
I was on the radio.
Yep.
And changed my life.
Yep.
Changed my life.
You read James chapter 6. And see what he says about works and deeds and what we should be doing with our Christian faith. And we shouldn't just be sitting back there saying, I'm saved, so I'm okay, I don't have to do anything. No, James doesn't say it that way. He says we have to use that talents and skills that we have and use it to bring other peoples to find Christ. And that's exactly the point you're making. Dave, you are a very wise person. I can tell you've been a pastor. But that's what we're talking about when it comes to being great, choosing great, moving from good to great, and following great people, and living the life that Christ wants us to live. And we have to have a mentor. We have to have someone willing to show us. But we can't expect someone to jump right in our laps. We have to go find these people. And they can be everywhere. You just have to reach out and look for them. Thank you for sharing your thoughts, Dave. You have been a great inspiration on this program today. Do you have any other thoughts? We're running out of time. We only have a few minutes left, so I'm anxious to hear how you would tie all this together for our listeners today.
Hey, there's about 10 things that we can do to go from good to great. We've only dealt with one.
Yeah.
We have 9 others.
Okay.
So, let's do it together. We got a couple of weeks here that we can get as many as we can in.
That's a good idea.
We're going to go to being great. Great, great, great. I want to be great. Say it out loud. And I know that as we continue with our program, we're finding the greatness of God for us. And he's pouring into us so that we can help you. Thanks for listening today. We love you. We appreciate you turning our way and turning the dial to WPFG. Looking forward to being able to see you many, many times. Giff and I have become great friends. He is the president, so I tackled the greatest in all of our radio here. It was Giff Briner. He's the president. Why not follow him? Why not get under his jurisdiction? Let's find out what he's all about. And it turned into a program, 2 guys with heart, and we're happy to be here again today.
Thank you, my friend. Jeff Briner saying bye-bye for now.